Welcome, welcome. Come on in to ATOP. We're getting ready for our Monday Manna Bible study, and we are looking for you to join us. Looking for you to join us. Yes, we are.
Well, of course, this is another day God has created, and He's made it, and so we're going to rejoice and be glad in it, and we're certainly grateful for how God yet sustains us in the midst of everything that we go through. And we recognize and we're fully aware that in Him we do live, move, and have our being. And we understand clearly that without Him we are nothing and can do nothing. Let us know the sound is good and that you're getting a good signal. We're going to jump right in here in a few minutes, but we praise God for this another day. This is the, 19th day of July, yeah. I tell you, that's halfway through July, isn't it, Lady Kim?
Yeah.
And so we're moving right through, but we do praise God for His keeping power, and we thank Him for continuing to bless us even in spite of ourselves. It's been a rainy season here in the city and in this particular area, but I think people are getting showers all across the country in different areas, and this is something that's, I guess, happening during this time of the year. But we praise God for the sunshine and for the rain, and we know that we have to have both in order to be productive. And many times we want it to shine, the sun to shine all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But we need a little rain to fertilize and to help other things to happen that God has put in place. I'm always amazed at how that happens, and it's particularly during the changing of the seasons and how different things just begin to take form and shape. Well, let's go ahead and get started here tonight, Lady Kim. We're in the 18th chapter of Psalms, is that correct?
Yes, correct.
And we finished portions of that on last week. Then we're going to move to 19, 20, 21, and Lady Kim was being quite ambitious yesterday. I think she said 22. But I don't feel as 22 in my spirit tonight. But if we get there, then we're going to do it. I hope you all have had an opportunity to read these particular chapters in advance, because we're just giving a brief recap of what's happening in these chapters, and we're going to stick and move tonight. Let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for this time of study. God, we are eternally grateful for your presence. We thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. We thank you for being God alone, and we thank you for this day that you included us in, and that you've allowed us to have a possibility to continue to get it right in our lives. So God, we pray your blessing to be upon us, those who are part of this study tonight, and those who will perhaps even hear this study later tonight and later throughout this week. So we ask that your spirit will abide to fulfill, and fulfill to overflow in each and every one of our lives. So we love you, we honor you, and we bless your name. We pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 and praise God.
Amen.
Is the sound coming in all right there? I see a couple of people on. Let us know the sound is coming in good. Yesterday in our worship experience, we had a powerful time in the Lord. Of course, those of you who were able to witness that service in-house, it's a much different effect than when you're watching it virtually. But a powerful time we had in the Lord. Lady Kim stood tall and proclaimed the word. And I tell you, it was a special anointing on that word yesterday. It was entitled, No Reserve Seating. Was that the title of it, Lady Kim? No Reserve Seating. And that was a different take on that particular passage of scripture found in Mark's gospel. And you really kind of focused in on the fact that we need to serve instead of worrying about sitting. And God had challenged these disciples who had came with a request. And different passages of scripture gives you different breakdown of how that unfolded. But serving and suffering doesn't seem to mix, and I think you brought that out yesterday and how important it is for us to understand that those seats that the disciples were requesting were not for Jesus to give them. He told them that they had to go through some things in order to be a part of enjoying a special privilege. So I don't believe, I think you had maybe one point. I saw something on the board, but I think it was pretty much a message all in itself.
Yes, there were no specific points for mm-hmm. that sermon.
But
yesterday,
somebody put something on the board yesterday. There were a couple of message points that I guess they were, as they were following you.
Right.
Right. You didn't see them, did you?
I did not see them.
Yeah, they put a couple of them up on the board yesterday.
All right. Mm-hmm. Probably about the main point was you shouldn't ask where to sit. You need to ask where to serve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So because, you know, a lot of times we want to sit next to the person in charge or sit at the head table or sit in the seat of prominence or sit in the seat of privilege. But when we are serving Jesus, we shouldn't ask where to sit.
Mm-hmm.
We should ask where we need to serve,
okay,
how we can serve, who we can serve, where we can serve.
That's good. That's good. And I think it really challenged us to reevaluate what we're doing and why we're doing it, and to get proper perspective on why we're doing what God has called us to do.
Amen.
Jesus himself said he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is. Many times we don't want to go through the suffering, but we want to get the seat.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a very powerful passage of scripture that really challenged us and taught us about how important it is for us to understand that when we start talking about sitting in the seat of privilege, it's really about the humility that we have in our service.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I brought out in the sermon is that one of the greatest examples of service or humility in service was when Jesus washed the disciples' feet on that Thursday before he was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
We know he was crucified on that Friday, and we call it Good Friday. The only reason why we call it Good Friday was because it was good for us,
okay,
for Jesus to go to the cross. But on that Thursday, when he had that supper with them in the upper room, and it says, the Bible says, in the middle of supper, and I had never noticed that before, in the midst of supper, he stood up and began washing the disciples' feet.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime you get down low, stoop down low, that means, you know, shows your humility. And to wash the dirt from someone else, that's service. When you want it, don't mind getting your hands dirty.
Okay.
And one of the things I said was that Jesus didn't come here to be a foot washer, but he came to show us how to serve and how to serve each other. He didn't come to be a foot washer, but he was saying, in essence, to us, if this is what I have to do, then I'll do it.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Excellent sermon yesterday. Powerful delivery. Special anointing on that word, and we hope that many who didn't get a chance to hear it on yesterday, you can go to our website, of course, and it's right there, and you will really enjoy it. The title of that sermon, No Reserve Seating. No Reserve Seating. All right, well, let's get ready to jump into the word for tonight. We're in Psalms 18, and we're still going through the Psalms of David, 73 Psalms that are attributed to David. And we left off with about verse number 36 of that 18th Psalm on last week. And there are quite a few verses in that particular chapter. I think we have right around 50 verses, and we got to about verse 36. Mm-hmm. And this particular 18th division of Psalm really still deals with that whole process that we've been talking about for the few minutes here, Lady Kim, about God being beside us, mm-hmm. and how David was wrestling with really some various issues in his own life, and he was going through some difficulty in terms of how he was going to overcome. And this particular psalm talks about calling upon God in distress. Mm-hmm. So David was in distress. He was worried about how he was going to fare with his enemies coming against him, how he was going to be able to overcome. And many times we find ourselves in situations where we're distressed and we're perplexed, but God has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He said he'd be with us always, even until the end. Mm-hmm. And I think these examples that we see in terms of how David was able to handle his situations really helps us to fully understand and give us some clarity even as we're going through.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And so the Psalms have always been a place of comfort. It's been a place where you can find joy for the journey, but it also helps you to go through, it helps you to get a handle on what you need when you're going through.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So this 36th verse, you want to pick it up there. It kind of talks about how God made room for his feet so that he could walk without hindrance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And he says that thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that his feet walk firmly, that my feet did not slip. That's David talking there.
Amen.
And he had pursued his enemies with success, overcoming them. He did not want to give up or turn again, but to pursue until they were consumed or slain or made captive with no enemies left.
Mm-hmm.
And so David is really kind of making his way through a very difficult time. And he's drawing his strength upon what God has given him in this time that he's going through.
Amen. Also, you know, verses 37 through 42 talks about how God gives David victory over his enemies.
Okay.
So that's what it begins to talk about in this portion, how he's given the victory. David is talking about how he pursued his enemy and God allowed him to overtake them. And you just read that, you know, and he didn't turn back. David didn't turn back. He was able to pursue him, and how God had provided him with strength for the battle. That's in verse number 39. God had provided him strength in the battles, and God caused the enemy to submit to David. Who subdued them, the enemy that rose up against them. So here we see a great picture of God giving David victory over his enemies. God had given the enemies next to him, you know, so that he might overcome them, putting an end to their power and their ability to do harm to him. And so, again, we see a picture a vivid picture of David being able to have victory over his enemies.
Okay. I like that what you talked about, how God provided strength for him. And, you know, that same strength that he provided for David, he provides for us even as we find ourselves being overwhelmed by whatever it is we're going through. Now, our situations might not be as serious as what David was going through, mm-hmm. but all of us have been confronted with issues and with circumstances and with situations where we need the Lord's strength. We need the Lord to show up in the midst of the fiery furnaces of life. Isn't that right?
Amen.
And
yes.
So this is what he did for David. And David began to acknowledge the fact that it was not him, but it was all God who was able to give him victory over his enemies.
Yes. And you know what I like about David? You know, when God provided him strength for the battle, he still didn't get the big head, you know,
okay.
about his victories. He was still steadfast. And he knew that it was God that had given him the victory. So I like that about David.
Because sometimes when we are going through ourselves, and we oftentimes, well, you know, some people tend to forget that it was God who brought them.
God who brought them, yes.
And when you get on the other side of what you're going through, you think you did it by yourself.
All by yourself. But, you say, look what I've done.
Yeah, that's right. And so David did not do that. He continued to say in verse 46, he said, the Lord shows himself to be living, and God being his refuge, he said, and how he had exalted God, the God of his salvation, in the midst of what he was going through. And we say oftentimes that you can praise your way through your situation. And oftentimes we get so caught up in what we're dealing with till we fail to give God praise in the midst of what we're going through.
Amen.
Yeah. So yes. I like that way David talked about how God was his strength and
his refuge
and he was his rock. Mm-hmm. And God is there. And many times the very things that we don't want to go through are, I believe, the things that help gives us the strength that we need in order to handle the next situation that's going to come our way.
Mm-hmm.
There's a song that says, each victory will help you some other to win. And so this is not, I don't know who this is for tonight, but this is not the last battle that you're going to be in. But what God is providing for you in the midst of you coming out of this one is going to give you better clarity when you're getting ready to deal with the next situation that comes your way.
Amen.
Okay. So I think even as we kind of wrap this 18th chapter up, we're in the 18th chapter of Psalm. It has a lot here to do with how the Lord will take care of us and how the Lord hears and our cries in the midst of what we're going through, and how his support is available to us. And many times we might think that we're walking by ourselves, but know that you are not walking alone. When friends can't hear you, those close to you turn their back on you, know that God has promised that he would be with you even until the end.
Amen.
And so even though it may look difficult and it may feel as if you're by yourself, you're not by yourself.
You're never alone.
You're never alone. And mm-hmm. God is right there in the midst of what you're going through.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. And you know, in those last verses too, you know, God is now establishing David's throne.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Establishing his throne. So, like you said, the Lord will take care of us. And we need to remember that it's God who takes care of us.
Excuse me. All right. Well, that moves us right into chapter number 19. And this chapter really kind of talks about the works and the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's still dealing with that whole section as it relates to God being beside us. And so the works and the word of God go hand in hand. Oftentimes we look around and we see the things that God has created and the things that he's made. But it gives us better clarity, I believe, Lady Kim, when we're trying to make sense of difficulty and trials and tribulations. Mm-hmm. Just looking out this window at the trees, I mean, that's nobody but God.
Amen.
You know, and yes. God is yet at work, and even in our own lives. And so David had come to terms with that in this 19th chapter. He began to talk about the works and the word of God.
Amen. And I like this chapter 19 because it causes us to reflect on God's goodness and on God's creation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The first verse talks about the heavens, meaning the sun, the moon, and the stars, announces and proclaim or make known or declares God's work, declares God's glory with the firmament over our heads, like the stars, and show the works of his hands or his handiwork. And he adorned the heavens with the sun, the moon, and the stars, showing the wisdom and skill which was done. So who can make a glorious firmament other than God?
Right, right.
No man could do that.
No,
no man can make a son. No man can make a move, because you know what? If it could be done, they would have already done it.
That's right.
All right? They have substituted a lot of things. But man cannot make the sun. Man cannot make the moon. Man cannot make and place the stars in the sky. So we serve an awesome God. And each day, it has its own lesson, declaring a word in regard to the wisdom, power, and goodness of God. And it's conveyed from one day to another, how the sun rises every morning and sets in the evening, how we see the moon in the sky, every night. It's in the sky in the day too. You know, we just don't see it because of the brightness of the sun. But how we see the moon shine at night. It also talks about the order of the stars rising and setting with the greatness of the majesty of God's silent movement of each night. Day and night, day meaning the heavens, keep on telling about God's glory.
And that's powerful. I was thinking as you were talking, Lady Kim, about how they are planning this trip to outer space, and all these people are trying to venture out to see what's beyond where we are on planet Earth. And, you know, I don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And I believe that if God wanted that to be in place, then he's the one who's going to make that happen. Mm-hmm. And so I pray for those who are going on this little journey that they're getting ready to take now. And they talked about a couple of the billionaires who were buying seats to go mm-hmm. to outer space, you know. And it's amazing how even with all of the money and all of the wealth that we have, we still can't duplicate what God has done and what he has created. And so I was thinking about that as you were talking about all of the things in the heavens and the sun and the moon and how the sun rotates and all of that, and how the moon is still there. And, you know, it's amazing how God put all of that into action. And man is still trying to figure it out, but nobody can do that but God.
Nobody but a powerful and mighty God.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. And verse 3 goes on to say, the heavens speak in a language which is universal and intelligent to them all. Without a sound or without a language, without a word, their message reaches the world. Nowhere is their voice not heard. Mm-hmm. I don't care where you go in the world.
That's right.
You can look up into the firmament and you can see God's handiwork.
That's right.
You can see God's glory in the heavenly stars and the moon and the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you go in the world.
That's right. So you really don't have to travel to Jamaica then to enjoy the presence of God in the handiwork that he's created. You can almost, if you would allow your mind to carry you, you can go right outside and close your eyes and begin to look up, and you'll see the same motion that you would see if you were across the sea somewhere else.
Amen.
All right.
We could go to your favorite beach. You mm-hmm. can watch the same sunset there as you can out in your backyard.
So does that cancel that trip we were
absolutely
talking?
Absolutely not.
I thought we were supposed to go outside. You want me to go down here and try to get some sand?
We can go outside, but we definitely going to the beach real soon.
Andrew, will you help me get some sand so I can bring it and put it out in the back for Lady Kim? But no, you're absolutely right, Lady Kim. And there's something amazing and there's something awesome about how God has set all of this in motion and how God has created all of these things. And in each region... somebody said, nice try, Pastor, it won't work. But in each region across the country, you'll find that people are going through different things, no matter where they are.
Right.
But you cannot escape the works of God.
Yes.
You're going to see God's handiwork wherever you are.
Yes.
And that song said, then sings my soul,
yes,
my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
How great thou art.
And so God is an awesome God. He's a kind and a merciful God. He's a wonderful God. He's the creator of heaven and earth.
Yes.
And God is God alone. And we cannot duplicate what God has done. but we can join in and give God praise for everything that he's done and affirm that it's God who made it and that it's God who is in control.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. So on to the fourth verse. I know we just have a few verses here in chapter 19. Again, it talks about how the heavens do not teach men audibly or speak with their ears or writings, but teaches them visibly with their eyes spread wide. And the God's magnificence or glory is read by all the inhabitants of earth. The sun lives in the heavens in the tabernacle where God placed it.
Okay.
And the sun moves out across the sky as radiant as a bridegroom going out of his chamber to his wedding, or as joyous as an athlete strong looking forward to running a race. And I like the way the psalmist describes God's glory. So many wonderful adjectives to talk about how the sun is going forth and is consistent from east to west, again and again, extended to the extremities of the ends of heaven, and how it circles the earth, you know, season by season.
That's right.
You know, God's glory is made manifest to man.
And morning by morning, new mercies we see. And so we're in the 19th chapter of Psalms, and we're around verse number 7, and just talking about the works of God and the word of God and how David came to terms with that, and he began to call out and honor what God had made and how God had created everything. And I think once we come to grips with that, it helps redefine for us, particularly when you're studying the word, you get a sense of understanding that God is in control.
Yes, he is.
And in him we do live, move, and have our being, and that everything is made by God, and God has not forsaken or has he forgotten about us in the midst of everything that he has made.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on that?
Yes.
And so I think when we, as we move through this 19th chapter, it talks about the heavens and his word, the Bible, and it teaches us about the greatness of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what that whole 19th chapter is all about. And the truths of the word is made manifest as we look at the handiwork that God has created.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
All right, well, let's go on to the 20th chapter, Lady Kim. You said we'll probably get through 22. Is that what you said?
I did.
Okay, we're moving kind of slow. Let me see what time it is. 6:30. I thought I was going to be able to cancel that trip in enough time.
Don't try that.
That same sun and that same moon?
We can, but we're going to see it from a different perspective, okay?
All right. I'm just checking, make sure. All right, so this 20th chapter really deals with a prayer for the king.
And there are just 9 verses in this 20th chapter. I think the 20th chapter, there are 9 verses. The 21st chapter, there are 13. So that's why I thought it would be a little ambitious.
Somebody laughed at what I just said. But that's not going to work. I'm going to have to cancel that sand. I don't need to get the sand for the backyard.
No, you don't need any sand for our backyard.
All right, okay.
Sand we need to see is when we get to the beach.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right. Got it. Prayer for the king, a prayer for the king. In this prayer, David deals with his dangerous enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's still kind of going back and forth dealing with those enemies. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, absolutely.
And so David is dealing with his dangerous enemies. And he's asking the Lord to hear him, and the God of Jacob, he goes back and he calls the roll to defend him, and he wants God to do something powerful for him in the midst of what he's going through, to send him help, if you will, and to send him what he needs, send him aid wherever it's needed, and to be a strength and to sustain him in the midst of what he's going through.
And not only that, he sends up burnt offerings, and he asks God to accept his offerings. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in the 20th chapter of Psalm, and around the third verse, and he wants God to remember all the offerings of thankfulness, accepting those burnt sacrifices for the putting away of sin. And he wants God to grant them their desires based on his heart's desire for them, fulfilling his plan to execute his purpose.
That's right. That's right. And so David is really revisiting some of the same things, but in a different manner, in terms of how he's acknowledging who God is and how God is able to deliver him. And I think once we realize how God brought us out of one situation, it's like that faith bank that we talk about, a faith file that we ought to have, because many times we forget about what the Lord did the last time.
That's right.
And but the same God who brought us out of that situation where we thought we were not going to be able to make it out,
he'll bring us out.
He'll bring us out of this situation.
Yes, he will.
All right.
So we have to keep that in mind.
That's right.
When we are discouraged, mm-hmm, and we come up against obstacles in our life, that the same God who brought us out last time will bring us out again. And that's what David is asking God for. God, do it again.
Do it again.
One more time.
Yeah.
God, do it again. So around the fifth verse, you know, he says they will rejoice at his salvation.